funny that you say like the school days, like Mal is either like a 10 or a 2.
That's,
I was definitely one of those people who put it as a 10.
I know you did, you piece of shit. Because I know exactly
what is going on here?
School day sucks. Welcome to Trash Taste episode 3. I'm your host, Connor Sea Dog, and we have the Hentai Man, as always.
That's me.
And the Anime Zone.
Man, you went straight in there, didn't you?
I had to.
You were like, no bullshit. Okay, let's just get this done, guys.
There was no prefix whatsoever. It's like, this is Trash Taste episode 3. I'm your host. All right, let's go.
What else? I mean, that's how you start it. Then we get into the topic.
Yeah, but you gotta have like a, we need to come up with like some kind of like, you know, like how Good Mythical Morning does it.
Yeah.
Like the, let's talk about that. Like, we gotta have something like that.
I was going to, but you interrupted me with the, you know.
What? I didn't interrupt you with anything.
I was gonna say your names, then the topic is gonna be smooth.
There was
as
no
fuck.
Prefix professional. To interrupt.
No, exactly, no. Right?
Wow, okay, ruining my turn. Okay, well then, my time to shine.
Go for it.
What I would like to discuss today with you gentlemen is your anime origin story, if you will. How did you get into anime? And how, you know, you discovered that you were gonna go down this rabbit hole of never coming back.
This beautiful medium that we all love and-
And hate at the same time.
Yeah.
Who would like to go first?
I mean, do you wanna go first, Joey? Because I feel like you have the most unique
most likely.
Yeah.
I feel like the pressure on me
probably out of all of us.
Actually, okay. I'm having to follow up his story. It's gonna be fun, but-
I mean, it's not that exciting.
Whatever.
I mean, yeah, I guess like mine is unique in the sense that like, would you say I'm the only AniTuber that has like grown up with anime? Like, and when I say grown up, I mean like from like age of like conceptual thought. You know,
age of conceptual thought.
Yeah. I think just being raised in a household with a Japanese parent probably has an immediately different attitude towards anime than one that we would experience in like Western.
Right, because like, you know, when most people say like, oh, I grew up with anime. Anime was my childhood. Like, like, you know, that usually starts at like age, like, you know, 12, maybe 10, right?
But I mean, like, the real question is, did you know what anime was growing up?
I mean, that's all I ever knew.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay, so when you were growing up in your head, even at like age 5 or 6, there was a clear distinction between like Pokemon and like, I don't know, what, like Cartoon Network shows. Like, there was a difference,
or
right?
Ed, Eddie.
Like,
or
you knew
like
that one of them was Japanese.
Yeah. Because unlike a lot of kids in Australia and like probably around my age group, I grew up watching Pokemon and like Dragon Ball in Japanese.
I thought Pokemon was an American cartoon. And
a lot of people did.
My mind was blown at like age 10 when I heard the Japanese version because it was on YouTube clips, right? Oh wait, this is the original?
Yeah.
How?
Because to me, Pokemon, when I was growing up, just seemed like this very weird genre. Like I couldn't put my finger on
it.
But I felt like it was a genre. Like it was Pokemon, Digimon, Cardcaptor Sakura, which was Cardcaptors in the UK and America.
Yeah.
Was it actually?
Yeah, it was just called Cardcaptors.
Sakura, that's too Asian sounding. Get rid of that.
No, it wasn't even Sakura, it's Sakura.
Oh. Sakura!
And the other girl was like, they changed her name to Madison, I think. I can't remember what her original name was, but this is back in the age of like 4Kids dubbing. I don't think it was even 4Kids that dubbed Cardcaptor Sakura, but it was in the day that, you know, localization was a thing. We were eating jelly donuts instead of onigiri.
I couldn't believe that the first time. Cause you know, like being, as you said, like growing up in an Asian household, Japanese household, onigiri was just like the most like normal concept
that's like
I've
your
ever
bread.
Seen. Yeah, exactly, right? It's
what
like, you know-
do to my boy?
I know, it's like, you know, like, yeah, as you said, it's like bread. It's like watching an American cartoon, like Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah.
And like a scene of them making toast, for example. And it gets overdubbed into Japanese. He's like, you know, I'm making a rice ball, a flat rice ball.
I think it's just cause at that time, I remember a lot of my friends just didn't really know the concept of just eating rice.
Yeah,
like if you weren't Asian, you're like, why would you eat rice with every meal? That doesn't make sense. Yeah. Right? Right?
Yeah, I guess so. I think I can remember my family thinking like rice was like exotic. Isn't that?
Really?
Well, I mean, it was something you had with like foreign foods.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't really eat rice.
But like that's on the contrary though, right? Like, do you eat bread with everything? Because at least in Japan, the concept of eating bread with everything is like, why?
I feel like at least in British culture, you could put bread with anything. Like you get away with it. But
I guess like the food culture of that country revolves.
Anyway, we're getting off topic. We're getting back to food culture.
Yeah, but so like basically like I grew up like watching Pokemon and like What else can I remember watching? I guess like before that though, like before Pokemon or anything like that, or you know, before I started watching like One Piece or like Dragon Ball, or like all the Shonen Jump stuff, like Japanese kids grow up with this like very certain array of like kids anime, which is just absolutely not known overseas like at all.
Doraemon.
Doraemon's probably like the most well known, but like you don't like see an AniTuber like reviewing Doraemon.
Yeah. Episode 5000 review Doraemon, let's go.
Right. Like, or like, you know, like one series that I grew up watching like alongside Doraemon was this show called Sazae-san.
Yeah,
which is like the longest running
Japanese running anime ever.
Yeah. And nobody outside of Japan has heard of it. I didn't know about it until you, I was having a conversation.
I mean, just to put
it
in perspective, my mom grew up watching that show and I grew up watching that show.
Right.
So it's been going on since like the 60s. And I think there's like 5,000 episodes or something.
Yeah, it's absurd.
It's still going to this day. I don't know how, like, I don't know. Like, because like, it's really weird because the concept of that show is like, it's just revolving around this family living in Japan. And it's just like the most like normal ass slice of life show that I've ever seen. But I also think to myself, like, how can you come up with like 40 years worth of topics and not be like, oh, maybe we did cover this topic like 25 years ago in one of those episodes?
There must be episodes that overlap. Like, I feel you can't make that many episodes and not overlap.
I mean, they probably could overlap, but no one's gonna be bothered to like fucking cross.
No one's rewatching that show, right? It's one of those like, things that if it's on TV, you watch it, right?
It's like, they covered this topic in episode 1743.
There's one super fan in Japan that's just seen every episode.
Of course,
And just knows everything about every episode.
Yeah,
That seems to be Sazae-san?
Sazae-san,
and Doraemon seem to be the one thing where if you ask anyone in Japan, do you watch anime? They'll be like, oh yeah, Doraemon.
And I grew up with Doraemon and Sazae-san.
And then I'm like, oh, I meant like, you know, the other anime.
Right.
Because like anime. Yeah. Like there's a distinction.
There's no boobs in that. What the
fuck? I don't want to imagine Doraemon with boobs.
Oh my God.
No, God.
That exists somewhere on the internet.
Please don't.
But
please
but like watching Doraemon and like Sazae-san and like, I could list off a number of shows, but no one would probably know. But like, there's just like a certain number of shows that I think like it's just become tradition now, no matter what generation or like if you're born and raised in the city or the, you know, the middle of nowhere, every kid grows up watching these like really specific set of shows.
Yeah.
And that's just like normal to them. You know, that's like watching, you know, a Peppa Pig.
Yeah, it's
just like, you don't even think about like, oh yes, it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like it's just something it's on the TV, right? And then like, I guess like the concept of like anime, didn't hit me until maybe like when I started watching like One Piece and like Dragon Ball and like probably around like the Pokemon time. So I reckon when I was like 5 or 6 years old.
Oh my God.
So when you started realizing what anime is and probably gets into it,
that's
when probably we started to watch our first anime, which was Pokemon, which was Dragon Ball Z.
But like in my head, I'm like, Pokemon is an anime and like Samurai Jack is a cartoon.
Yeah.
Because at that time, like around like 5 or 6 years old, that's when I started like watching like Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that we grew up in like the golden age of Cartoon Network.
I mean,
I'd say so.
We had Samurai Jack.
We had Samurai Jack, like Dexter's Lab, Cow and Chicken, Ed and Eddy, like so many amazing shows. And to me, it's like, okay, things on Cartoon Network are cartoons.
Yeah.
But things that are on like the VHS tapes that my grandma would send to me.
is anime.
Yeah. So for me, there was like a really clear distinction. So like, I didn't have like one day this sudden realization that like, oh shit, Doraemon is an anime.
Yeah.
Because it was just so natural to me.
See, I don't even remember when I got that realization because I think I must have got it when I properly started getting into anime with Naruto was my first like anime. And that was purely because I just kept seeing avatars and, you know, GIFs on the internet. And I was like, this kind of looks like Dragon Ball Z, which I grew up on, which that cartoon that I was really into.
Do they have ridiculously spiky hair? Yeah, probably the same thing.
Exactly, right?
I think, because I was on the internet way before I started watching anime. And I think obviously being on the internet, you see a lot of anime.
Mm.
And I was just thinking like, what is this shit? Like what? I'm just trying to play RuneScape. Why are they talking about this stuff? Like, I don't get it. All I knew is that their opinion didn't matter because they had anime profile pictures.
Which
right?
I guess still is like-
It's a timeless thing. Yeah.
That's just a meme now that it's generational now. Yeah. It's generational.
No, man, I mean, Pokemon was the first one for me. I must have been like, God. I mean, Pokemon was always one of my favorite shows. I think we mentioned this in like episode 0 or something, that it had like an overarching story, which you only really got, you didn't really get it actually in any except for like Avatar, but that came way later.
Yeah.
Like an old, like 90s.
Did you just call Avatar an anime?
Or like cartoons. Sorry, I was comparing a cartoon.
I was about to fucking
Because like, you know, you don't watch Courage the Cowardly Dog for the overarching story arc, right? No, like you watch it because it's like every episode's great and you have a good time. But then I remember Pokemon was like, oh, whoa, they're like actually like working towards something.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I think as well, like that era of anime as well, like unlike a lot of cartoons, it was like, yes, there was like episodic moments, but as you said, there was like an overarching story.
You, even if it was a filler, you knew they were like, they had a goal.
And
that seemed to be the case where that kind of structure really like spoke to me as a, for whatever reason, I really enjoyed that as a kid. And then Yu-Gi-Oh had the same thing. And then I thought, huh, well, all these things with all the spiky head people and the really like well-drawn things are like, I like these kind of cartoons.
It's so weird though for me, at least with Yu-Gi-Oh, is that I didn't know Yu-Gi-Oh was an anime because I grew up with the card game first.
Really? Yeah, yeah, same, same. I got the card game and then watched the anime.
Yeah, right?
Because everyone in your school was playing Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't get that phase. I didn't get that Yu-Gi-Oh phase. We had, because when I was in school, everyone was like trading Pokemon cards and nobody knew how to play the actual game.
No one did.
We had like a black market like trade deal with Pokemon cards.
I had like a really dark like Yu-Gi-Oh phase because like, I was legit like fucking my dad, because my dad like used to work for like a printing company.
Yeah,
so what he would do is he would find like high res like pictures of Exodia.
Oh no.
Oh no.
My parents and did would, that one time
and
as
he
well.
Would, like, oh my God. And he would like print them out and I would come to school and I'd be like, yeah, I got all five pieces of Exodia. And I'd be like, a 10-year-old doesn't know, right? So they're whoa, no way, you got Exodia. But it was funny as well because like much like your Pokemon cards, no one knew how to play Yu-Gi-Oh. It was just like, oh cool, really? You have Exodia.
Because I feel like the rules of Yu-Gi-Oh were easier to understand than the rules of Pokemon.
Yeah. Pokemon's hard.
Because I don't think anyone in my school played the Pokemon card game.
You just collect them.
Yeah, you just collected them, right? You had like, it was easy to understand. You had a shiny. And
Charizard.
You get Charizard.
Well, that's the thing though, right? It's like, in order to play the Pokemon card games, you needed to like not throw away the energy cards.
Which no one wanted.
Everybody was like, the energy card.
Which like my school, like in my school, everyone was just like, got, haven't got. That was just lunchtime every day at my school.
Because I
started to realize that I really liked anime when everyone got into Pokemon when we had the Pokemon card game phase as well. So it was just like a global craze.
Oh yeah.
And then how long did that last? That lasted like a year or something, right?
Well, I think.
Or like a few months.
The year I was born, 1996, I think Pokemon was the most Googled thing of that year.
Well, because the game had just come out.
It just came out. And obviously since that point onwards, it's pretty, through the mid 2000s, it was pretty insane.
Oh,
like, Pokemon was like, and arguably still today is one of the biggest like, you know.
Yeah. Because I just kept watching Pokemon even after everyone had like, even when the craze had gone.
Same.
And my mom and my dad wondering like, why is this kid still into Pokemon? What the fuck is going on?
No, I had the same thing. My parents were like, they were like worried for me. They were like, should we like, do we need to like do something about this? Like he's still like watching cartoons and my older brother had like foregone cartoons.
Yeah,
it was like a sign of pride that he had stopped watching cartoons.
Exactly, right?
He was like, I only watch reality TV show now with my parents. I don't watch this kid show.
I watch MTV, but not for the
music. Right.
Yeah.
And I fucking loved like, you know, Samurai Jack. Like I would always try and watch Samurai Jack, like Courage Cowardly Dog anime as well.
Yeah,
and my parents genuinely like were concerned for me. I don't know if they still are concerned for me. I imagine there's a little bit.
I think much less so now that you've made-
That's the exact point. Cause all the way up to university and when I rediscovered what anime was, my parents were like, He's doing it again. We thought we were past this fucking phase.
When they found out I was watching like more anime than ever, they were like even more concerned. They were like, whoa, he's gone even harder into this. We thought it would stop.
I remember my dad, like the funniest thing my dad ever said, I think I was in like maybe the last year of high school.
Yeah.
And that was like when I was like, this is right before I made my YouTube channel. Yeah. Right? And I was like watching every anime ever. And like, my dad would be like, what are you doing in your room? Because he thought I was doing something else. When I told him that I was watching anime, I remember my dad saying like, okay, at this point, I think I'd rather you just do drugs. It's like, I would have been less disappointed if I found out you were doing drugs in your room.
Which one's more life crushing?
Yeah. Arguably, they're both around the same.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Like, I guess like, I don't really have like a phase of like when I discovered anime or anything because as long as I've known.
Oh,
like,
I do.
Even, because like even manga as well. Like I started reading manga like around the same time that I discovered Doraemon, which is probably around when I was like 4 or 5 years old.
Oh damn, so you've been reading manga since 4 or 5.
Probably, maybe earlier than that. But I specifically remember the first ever volume of manga I ever got was volume 2 of Doraemon. I don't know why my mom didn't get me volume 1 of Doraemon. That would have been cooler. But like, I didn't know that it was like an overarching story. So I was like, okay, I'll just start reading this. Had no idea what the fuck was going on at first until I got volume 1 and I was like, oh, now it makes sense. Okay.
Wow. Man, I feel like my anime thing was like, there's 3 points in my life where like I can very vividly remember watching anime. First was like Pokemon.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, occasionally seeing a Yu-Gi-Oh episode with the cards.
Yeah.
But I think maybe when I got access to like the internet, I think that's when another one came because I remember watching like Yu-Gi-Oh, I think it was GX.
Mm, right.
Like parts, 3 parts.
The 3 parts on YouTube.
And you know if someone's like an OG anime fan because they're like, oh yeah, don't you hate it when you find an Espanol sub of your one, like you, okay, so envision it, right? It's 2000, right? You watch episode 1, part 1 of Yu-Gi-Oh. And you're like, okay, cool. I'm going to watch episode 1, part 2. You click it. It's the next recommended video. It's in Espanol. What do you do? Do you like keep looking or do you just give up and go to the next part?
Yeah.
I remember so many times I had to do that and I was confused as fuck.
The worst, I think what's worse than that is when you like could, someone uploads like a full anime movie onto YouTube, but because it had to be split into like 8 parts.
Oh no.
And like always like either like part 6 or part 5.
Always one of them.
There's always one part that was missing and you couldn't find it. So you just had to give up and just be like, all right, I'll just skip 15 minutes and just hopefully try and catch up.
Yeah, I think there's 15 minutes of the first Naruto movie that I've just never seen because I watched it on YouTube. It's just, I don't know what's happened. It might be the best 15 minutes of Naruto history. I don't fucking know because I haven't seen it.
Because what was it? It was like the max upload time was 10 minutes on YouTube, right?
10,
before, so that's why it was split up into 3.
Yeah.
Man, and I remember that was like one of the biggest phases.
And the
of
third
me.
Part would always just be like 5 minutes. Yeah, or something. Yeah.
There was the outro, was half of it.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. No, that was like definitely a big phase for me. And I could have been around 13, 14 at that point. Yeah.
Mm. Question to you then, did you grow up during the Toonami phase? Because I feel like Toonami has played such a big factor into making the anime fans of today.
No, for some reason we have Toonami in the UK.
We did. But you needed Sky TV. So you needed Cartoon Network to be able to watch Toonami.
So Sky is like basically cable in the UK.
Yeah.
And wait, you guys didn't get Cartoon Network just like free to air?
No, you had to pay for Cartoon Network.
Really?
In the UK.
Because I'm pretty sure in Australia it was free to air.
Oh wow, yeah, because I remember my parents paid, because my dad wanted to pay for the football matches in the UK.
Right.
And you basically got the whole bundle. So I would watch the cartoon stuff. And I remember there was loads of cartoons. I never saw anime. I think it was airing really late. And by then my parents were like, why aren't you in bed, son?
Because what are you doing? What was on Toonami?
It was like Dragon Ball Z, Gundam Wing.
I remember seeing Dragon Ball, never watched it though. Cause I just, it was always a mess. Cause they aired it out of order. So I didn't know what was going on. So I thought it was cool, but I couldn't get into it.
Right.
Yeah, I think Dragon Ball Z and Gundam Wing were the only two I was able to watch whenever, cause our family didn't have Sky TV. So I could only watch it when I go to my cousin's house and I'd be watching episodes out of order. Gundam Wing made no fucking sense to me.
Gundam Wing still makes no sense.
You can watch Gundam Wing in order and it'll still make no sense.
Like I'd be watching a scene and for some reason the guy wants to kill this girl, but the girl still wants to get with the guy. Makes no fucking sense to me. As a kid, you know, Gundam Wing's already confusing enough as it is. Dragon Ball Z was okay because I could just watch, I could skip 5 episodes and they'd be-
It'd be the same fight.
It'd be still the same fight. You know?
Goku would just be like 3 steps closer to Frieza.
No, because I remember like I'd be watching these scenes in Dragon Ball Z and Goku was like powering up the spirit bomb.
Yeah.
And then I'd not be able to go to my cousins till like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And then Goku was still powering up the spirit bomb. So I was like, oh, this is just the next episode. No, it was like, I missed like 3-4 episodes and it was just still the same shit.
And to this day, he's still powering it up.
Yeah,
still hasn't finished. Man.
If he hasn't died for the 7th time and come back to life.
Because my exposure to anime has got, like, now that I think back to it, there's the main phases of like the Pokemon phase and then there's the Toonami phase where I'd see it on Toonami and TV. Mm. And then there was this huge gap.
I had the exact same thing.
Yeah. And then I realized now that in this huge gap, I still had like small exposures to anime. Like whenever I go to Thailand, we'd always have these shitty Thai dubs of these, like Ultraman was like massive in Thailand, even though that's not an anime, but we'd have like Dragon Ball Z dubs. And man, listening to Thai dubs, they've only got 5 voice actors and actresses, and they voice every character in every anime.
I respect it.
We gotta like play an episode on here. I just wanna hear it.
Anyone who's grown up in Southeast Asia knows what I'm talking about when you have 5 voice actors who plays every character in every show. And then my cousin showed me, I think it was Princess Mononoke, just as it came out. I didn't know it was anime, it just like was this animated film. I thought it was Disney.
How old were you when you watched Princess Mononoke?
I mean, it came out in 97.
Yeah, I must have been like it was the year after it came out because it was out on DVD.
It's a pretty gruesome movie to watch.
That
was the first Ghibli movie I watched. Oh,
yeah, God. I thought that movie was just Disney. And then just before I discovered like Naruto and everything that, I went through the LimeWire phase.
Just for music though.
Just for music. Same here, right? Mm. So I would be browsing LimeWire for music. Yeah. Probably like downloading Linkin Park or Papa Roach or something like that.
As you do in 2004.
As you do in 2004. And then something else, like, you know, sometimes you download a file and it's not the file you aim for. Like,
you mean every file on LimeWire?
The Bill Clinton file?
the Bill Clinton file.
Oh my God.
So good.
So in LimeWire, someone was just circulating Bible Black clips.
Oh yeah.
the dub?
Yeah, the dub. It was the dub as well. I never knew that Bible Black was a Japanese anime, because I'm just like, what is this shitty porn that I'm watching? But as a kid, I'm like,
yeah, it's kind of hot though.
Holy fuck, this is fucking amazing.
That's exactly how Aki discovered it as well.
Yeah.
She said in multiple videos that like going through LimeWire, obviously looking for the new Linkin Park album.
You just trust people, right?
And it was the tentacle scene of Bible Black. And she's like, this is like, she had like an epiphany. She was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. I can't imagine though, like, because that, I don't even remember, I don't want to get onto the topic, but like, I don't remember how I discovered that.
People
side.
Like, get on the topic.
No, because I obviously didn't know it was hentai, or I didn't even know it was anime. But holy shit, I'm having a fucking epiphany now. Bible Black wasn't the only hentai I downloaded on there.
What else?
Oh my God, like, cause I remember downloading full length hentai that came out in the 90s. I can't remember the name, but
why are you downloading full length hentai?
Because I say, you're just downloading random files.
Okay.
And I got one of these files that I downloaded was this hentai that I can't remember the title. It had angel in the name. There's a lot of 90s.
A million.
He had an angel in the name. I'm like, what if I just put this title into LimeWire and see what comes up? And there were like 6 titles that came up. So as a kid, I'm like, I'm downloading all of this.
How to destroy your laptop? Speedrun. Did you ruin any laptops or PCs? I blamed it on my brother and he totally got blamed for it, but it was totally me, first laptop.
I couldn't blame it on anyone because I'm the oldest in the family.
I think the reason why, and I just realized this now, because I was wondering, what the fuck was I doing between like 13 and 18? Like, I couldn't think about it. Like, and I just realized I was like cripplingly like addicted to Xbox. Like it was like every second I got free, I was playing Call of Duty. Like that was like,
because you're with your
friends as well, right? And that's like the golden age of like playing games where you get to play with your friends after school. It was like immediately when I was done, I'd go home, play games until I had to go to bed.
And that was like the golden age of COD as well.
Oh
right?
My God, that was perfect. Modern Warfare 2 came out when I was like 15, 16, which is like the perfect time to play it.
I think I had an age, like a gap as well, that I didn't watch anime, and it was around the same time.
Yeah.
I know exactly why I wasn't, but I'm not gonna say it because it's probably not appropriate for you.
you
can take a guess as to what that might be.
Yeah.
But weirdly enough, even though like during that gap until like probably the last year of like high school, I was still reading manga like religiously.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is. It's like I had this burnout with anime or maybe just like a loss of interest with anime. Yeah. But for some reason, manga was like always this one thing that I would just come home and just read the shit out of.
Probably just a little more engaging almost. You have to like actively make an effort.
Probably. Yeah. And also because I just like reading in general, I think. So. Yeah.
So I mean, like, question to you guys, what drew you to anime over like cartoons or other things? Like what drew you to this medium specifically?
As a child
as
or a, like-
As a kid and growing up as well.
For me, it was just the fact that my mom would just push it a lot because it was the she knew that it was the easiest way for me to keep
appreciate
my
the Japanese culture. Yeah,
God, I'm so like fucking jealous.
Yeah, I'm so every time I realize Joey was born on Japanese household, speak Japanese. Yeah. God, I
like my mom knew that like if I just kept talking to her in Japanese, it would most likely stick. But she wanted me to like not just be like competent in Japanese. She
like
really
appreciate
wanted me
the
to,
whole
like,
culture.
Really like yeah, not just appreciate the culture, but also like excel in Japanese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And like. Thank God, because now I think I have.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I have learned to like appreciate the culture and just anime in general and the language. And like, I did like, you know, learn a fuck ton of Japanese. Even though I say it all in a lot of videos, don't use anime to learn Japanese.
Yeah.
I kind of help them admit I learned a lot of Japanese from watching anime.
I mean,
reading manga.
Any amount of language that you take in to learn, like if you're watching anything in a language, it's good. You know, it'll help. Like,
I
is
feel
it the best
like,
way?
I feel like as a kid, you just absorb it through osmosis or something like
that. Oh yeah,
you
do.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Like I remember learning Thai just because I was like, you know, whenever I'd go to Thailand, I would just absorb it whenever I was talking to my family or just watching TV shows.
Did you learn any Thai from the Thai dubs of Dragon
Ball? I'd love to hear a kamehameha in Thai.
It's probably the same.
No, it's the same. Oh, it's the same. It's just very bad quality. it's kind of like, I don't know. There wasn't a lot of money put into the dubbing industry. I reckon so
back then as well.
Exactly. I mean, exactly.
Still not that much to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know a second language then purely because we were just raised in the area where it was spoken.
Yeah.
But the thing as well was when you were a kid, you know, you have way more time to just sit there and absorb it. When you're an adult, it's like, I get 10 minutes a day on Duolingo, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Whereas a kid, it's like 8 hours of just you're hearing this stuff. So obviously you're going to pick it up.
But I mean, I was just like, like from as far as I can remember with my childhood, like the only memories I have is just like either watching anime, reading manga, or like watching cartoon.
Right.
Yeah.
So already just from that, like 2/3 of my childhood essentially is me just absorbing the Japanese language in like any way possible.
Right.
So I think that just, help me a fuck. Like if I never got into anime or manga, I would like to think that I would be nowhere near as good at the language as I am now.
I think definitely for me, when I was watching anime, the thing that appealed to me, especially my younger age, is that, like I said earlier, like there's more of a structure, right? And there's always an overarching like point and there's normally a journey to go on. And also I felt like, you know, I mean, this wasn't a problem back then when with our cartoons, you know, the ones that we grew up with, but I felt like anime didn't treat the audience stupid. You know, like
if you're
like 16, 18,
yeah,
you know, maybe you don't want to watch Pokemon, but you can still appreciate it and enjoy it.
Right.
And I felt that like some cartoons, I mean, you can watch Samurai Jack any age, right? It's timeless, but there was a lot when I was growing up that very treated you as a kid, right? Whereas Pokemon was like, you're a teenager, you're going on a journey.
Yeah.
You're going to catch Pokemon. And it was so cool to like imagine yourself as that. Like, it sounds dumb.
How old
like,
was Ash again?
10.
Ash.
10.
10, yeah. 10, but I mean, that, I mean, he had his shit together for a 10-year-old, right?
No, like, he did.
Like, and Brock is like 35 or something. Right? Like, I'm like, why is he hanging out with this kid? Like, what the fuck?
Like, can you imagine a mom just letting a 10-year-old go on into the fucking world by himself with a fucking rat to keep him company?
I mean, wasn't the whole joke that like the mom sent her off so that she could like have an affair with Professor Oak? Like, wasn't that the whole thing?
Just Brock commits crimes and like, yeah, I guess that was really irresponsible of us to let him go with a 35-year-old man.
And how is like Misty okay with like Ash hanging out when like this 10-year-old kid like throws your bike into a river? And it's like, I'll pay you back.
How also, as like a 10-year-old Ash, do you have any concept of Brock constantly hitting on people? What do you, how do you like perceive that? Like what is that to you as a 10-year-old?
Like imagine being Brock and just leaving your family and your job to like follow this 10-year-old.
He just totally ditched his job.
No, he did.
That's so irresponsible.
Remember Misty though.
He had a massive family as well. Like, what the fuck are you doing, Brock? You had like 10 brothers and sisters. What are you doing?
Needless to say, that kind of reckless behavior really appealed to me as a kid, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just up and leaving my family that I was supporting with
leaving
my
family for what? To follow this 10-year-old so I can go slay some puss.
It's like strangely reminiscent of like Hisoka from Hunter x Hunter. It's like grown man just wants to follow a kid around, see him grow.
The biggest thing for me though with like Pokemon that just made no sense to me is how Gary Oak
yeah.
is like essentially the same age as Ash, and yeah. yet he yeah. can get like all this puss.
Is it bad that like I actually like liked Gary more than Ash? And I loved it when he was yeah. a dick to Ash. So I'm like, yeah, you should be catching Pokemon, Ash.
Because he was actually achieving the goal yeah. of yeah. trying to become a Pokemon master.
You know what?
Yeah.
You know what's, like, I feel like as a kid, maybe you appreciate Ash more, but as an adult, you're like, you know, Gary's kind of got a shit together. Yeah. Like, Gary's achieving his dreams.
Yeah,
it was cool that you saved that Butterfree and reunited him, Ash, but like-
But Gary has 10 badges. Yeah. There aren't even 10 badges in the game.
Did Butterfree start a Patreon and pay your bills? No, he didn't. Gary's, go and get a job, Ash.
Gary's on like a gold split speed run of this entire shit.
He was doing 80% Pokemon before speedrunning was a thing.
Any percented like getting all the pussies. Yeah. Like, he was doing it all. Like that man did it all. Like, and yet we still were supposed to hate him. Like, oh, you
had the fucking cheerleaders with him as well. Yeah. Oh my God.
I remember there was one episode, like I think when they were like, when Ash was about to like go to like Koga, I think.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Gary just rocks up in a fucking like-
Lamborghini.
With like 10 chicks just being like, you're still here? I've already got all the bags. I'm just like, who's driving the car?
Yeah, not only is he an expert Pokemon master, he's a logistic expert.
Yeah.
Getting all these women around,
yeah.
always in his Lamborghini.
Of course.
But he doesn't worry about parking tickets, you know? No. Come on, I mean, like, Ash is walking everywhere. Like, point being, as an adult, I think Ash is kind of shitty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, definitely as a kid, that whole kind of structure and the kind of, you know, going on a journey, did you guys feel really, like, disappointed when Ash got beaten in the Pokemon League?
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
this is our destiny. Like, he formed these artificial bonds with these Pokemon, and fucking Charizard had the balls to sleep at the final fight? Are you serious, Charizard?
It was like, as a kid, it was like top 10 anime twists of all time. Yeah, no, top 10 anime betrayals of all time.
Charizard, he saved you, bro. He saved you. Help him, please.
There's actually this really funny thing I found the other day when I was looking up at like Pokemon speedruns.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know there's a thing called Ash Percent?
Oh, I think, yeah, I saw this.
Where
saw
you it. Have to play the game exactly, the like Ash catch every Pokemon exactly the same order oh my that Ash God. Did. You have to release your Butterfree, you have to release your Charizard, and then you have to purposely lose at the Elite Four.
That would drive me mental, man. It's like, oh my God.
Shirtless Mario speedrun. Yeah. Super Mario Odyssey. Yeah, you basically just do a speedrun on Super Mario Odyssey where you try and get Mario shirtless as quick as possible.
Yeah, nipple percent. That's such a good
I love the troll speedruns.
Anyway, we got off topic.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. And I don't know, was it the same thing as well for you as a kid?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but it was this huge overarching plot. Like they had a goal and they were working towards a goal. Like Pokemon turned out to be as I watched more anime, I started liking Pokemon less and less. Like when things like Digimon came out and they had an actual like story arc instead of being cut by Charizard at the most crucial moment. Digimon for me was probably the moment when I actually fell in love with anime.
Yeah.
You want to know something? I never watched the Digimon anime.
Did you not?
I watched it.
The only Digimon that I ever like consumed are the two movies.
I played the games as well as a kid, and the only thing I remember is them being hard as fuck.
Oh, they are.
Like, there are games with that?
There's games, yeah. and like, I think, at least the Digimon World games, I don't know how old they are. I remember like they're like some of the hardest games to get like full completion of any games ever. Like they're like insane. And I remember as a kid thinking like, what the fuck? Why can't I get past the first level? I beat all of Pokemon in French. What the hell? Like,
yeah, no, I don't know what it is. Maybe because I was just so obsessed with Pokemon.
Yeah.
But like, I always knew Digimon was a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never watched any of the
It was anime. Always the joke as a kid, right? You were like the fucking comedian. If you were like, I guess you're the Digimon though. Like, you know what I mean?
You were the Digimon kid. No one wants to be the Digimon kid.
I have a question for you specifically, because obviously this doesn't apply to you, but did you like as a kid have a sense of like, oh, I kind of like this whole like Japanese culture thing whenever it propped up, you know, in like TV or anything? Like,
I mean, to me it was less exotic, because to me it was like Asian culture.
I guess,
like,
yeah.
Because it was, I had seen more of it because I didn't exactly grow up in Thailand, but I would visit there at least once a year.
Right.
So I'd spend like my summer holidays in Thailand every year. So seeing some of the more Japanese culture or the more Asian oriented culture, it's not that different from what you get from flying to Asia. Like Japanese specific, like say onigiri. I had no idea what the fuck onigiri is. Yeah, jelly donuts. But I could see that, it was just a ball of rice. rice. Yeah. I know what rice is. I can see what this is.
I guess it's a difference of me coming from, you know, the whitest place on earth and not being exposed to any other, especially Asian cultures, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The only Asian exposure I had, you know, apart from media, was just like the shitty Chinese shop that, you know, down the road, which yeah. like we had awful Chinese. And so I think whenever I saw Japanese stuff in media, I thought it was so cool. Like it's going to sound so fucking dumb that I'm going to say this, right?
Go on.
Do you remember like Jackass, the movie or whatever, where like one of them goes to Japan.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
he starts like just stripping in a store and dancing.
Yeah.
The whole time I just ignored that. I was like, dude, look at those fucking appliances they had. I thought it was so cool. They had all these appliances in the store that I've never seen them. Like, cause in the West, we never got those like TV and radio built in things. Yeah. And like they had like the numbers on the side.
Yeah.
I thought those were cool as fuck as a kid, and then obviously watching like samurai stuff, and then Samurai Jack was a huge thing that made me think like I fucking love samurais as a kid.
Oh
like,
yeah,
they were like the coolest things to me.
Yeah. I think it was either like depending on if you were into anime or not. Like the two things that got people into samurai were either Samurai Jack or The Last Samurai.
I can still watch Samurai Jack today and like fucking love everything.
Dude, the newest season was fucking awesome.
God, dude, Samurai Jack cried like a baby. Yeah.
Samurai Jack is just a fucking great show. Amazing. Period.
Yeah.
Samurai Jack was like the one Cartoon Network show other than Ed and Nettie that my dad would be just as excited to watch with
so
me.
So good.
He was like, dude, Samurai Jack's on? Move out of the way.
Like, I remember like the episode with like the assassin. Do you remember this one with the, like he had the robot dog?
And I love
that episode. Yeah, That's one of my favorites. But I think in my head, looking back now, I feel like it was inevitable that I was going to get into anime. Cause I had like a fondness for Japanese culture. Like it wasn't like intense or weeby or anything. I liked the movies. I liked the, like all the culture that I saw.
Mm.
I loved video games. And being a video game fan, you're going to run into like stuff that you're like, huh, why is it like this? And you're like, oh, it's Japanese.
Yeah.
And then also watching anime from a young age and like, so I felt like it was inevitable at some point in my life, I was going to find anime and be like, I fucking love this shit.
Cause I feel I completely forgot about video games and just like JRPGs and
It's a big push. You don't realize how much of it, like a push.
Exactly. And I realized a lot of the same story tropes that drew me to anime, like I liked in JRPGs, and that's why I got really into JRPGs as well. I guess, do you remember the time when Japan just felt like this foreign concept? Like this is way past even when me discovering anime.
Yeah.
But I mean, I remember like after discovering anime and start discovering Naruto and everything, you know, it was so weird to find anyone who went to Japan or see any kind of like Japanese media, even outside of the Japan.
I feel like it's only recently become a tourist destination. Like
if
my parents who like never want to leave Europe, right? Like they're like, if it's not Europe, it's not a vacation. If they're considering like, oh, Korea and Japan sounds cool. Like if they're done like that, I'm like, okay, well now I guess everyone's up to it now.
Are they
like
thinking that?
Yeah, they were planning there, not just cause I lived here, but they wanted to come out anyway.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I feel like there's that kind of mainstreamness of it anyway is really like had a big impact recently. Cause I remember when I first started watching stuff on YouTube, there was no like vloggers.
No,
except for like,
no.
I remember watching like a Chris Broad video from like years ago.
Yeah.
And he was like the only guy, right?
He was one of the OGs.
Right.
I'd like to think, yeah.
And I remember back then, like if you wanted to find something in Japanese, it had to be like a BBC documentary someone going there, right?
Yeah.
Like it was not a YouTube
thing. The weird, wacky world of Japan.
Right. Yeah. Whereas now like, you can find out anything you want about this country. Like it's not hard, but I remember, like same thing.
Like
I
have you'd see these weird commercials. You'd see like these clips from these talk shows or the variety shows and you're like, what the fuck is going on in this country? I have no idea.
There was that giant like Takeshi's Castle dude.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Takeshi's Castle at 7 a.m. every day on Challenge. And I used to wake up early before school and I would like watch every episode.
I didn't think you guys get this excited for this.
Dude, I just totally glossed over that. Like I literally watched Takeshi's Castle all throughout high school.
Even though
it was reruns, I fucking loved it every time.
Yeah,
like,
you just watch the same episodes over and over. It's like watching Top Gear and Dave, you know? It's something you can always watch over and over. And it was just so fucking weird.
It's only recently that I found out though, that like Takeshi's Castle, you guys had reruns of Takeshi's Castle?
Yeah.
I found that really interesting because that's a show from the 80s.
It's strange because I think America has their own version as well. By the way, Takeshi's Castle is this kind of, what is it called? The most extreme game show, is it called in Japan?
Pretty much.
It's like Ninja Warrior. Something like that. That's like the modern day.
It's like Ninja Warrior, but imagine if it was like all the contestants were just everyday people, yeah. and it was horribly unfair.
Yeah.
It was so unfair, and it was so fun, and it was just brutal. These courses, they would just send people, and they would.
It was
all
basically
fail.
Ninja Warrior crossed with Jackass.
Yeah. Because it looked dangerous. Some of the courses looked so fucking dangerous.
I mean, there's a reason why they don't do that show anymore.
No.
Like legit OHS.
That
show had a huge following in the UK because of that, and I think in America it did as well. But each localization had a different style to it. So the Japanese one obviously just showed the show.
Yeah.
The British one had like this
Craig Charles,
who's quite a famous person back in the 90s, right?
Because he did Robot Wars.
Right.
It
was really big. And in America, they had like a kind of, imagine like a pseudo kind of football commentators being like, what do you think of that, Jeff? Yeah. It was like, it was supposed to be like a kind of like jokey thing. So I actually watched clips of it. I don't think it's as good, but each country had its own localization.
Yeah,
and the one in the UK was huge. Because I remember there was petitions, even when I was like 16, 17, people wanting to bring it back. But I mean, how can you bring it back when they're just dubbing over the old clips, right?
Exactly.
But Thailand actually had, I think, a version like a few years ago as well.
They
made their own version.
I had no fucking
because I remember watching it and thinking like, nope, not the same. It just didn't quite scratch it. But that was a huge factor in why also I love Japanese culture. Because you watch that show and like, it's
hilarious.
It's crazy.
It's amazing. And it's also a blatantly extremely Japanese.
Yeah,
like you're seeing like katakana kanji everywhere. Like it's obviously just like, it's purely Japanese.
It's like ADHD, right? Like editing, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's pure like, that's my first introduction to like pure, crazy Japanese editing.
It's pure chaos. I don't know what it is about Japanese variety shows. It's just about having as much information on screen to like distract your eyes as possible.
After making YouTube videos, I have come to like feel sorry for every Japanese editor sheer amount of text they have to put on the screen, changing colors. Colors and shit popping up everywhere.
Because everybody's dialogue has subtitles.
Yeah.
And it's like, we can hear them fine. Don't worry about it.
Do you know what I hate? Whenever I see like an anime trailer and it's from like Japanese TV, so they always got like this guy reacting to it or something like that.
Oh, in the corner. And they're not even reacting that much.
Yeah.
They're just like.
That's the thing I don't understand about game shows. They'll have like a really like normal thing and they'll just have a guy in the corner like.
Or it's like a really interesting behind the scenes clip of this anime or show.
Yeah.
Or like one of, like I remember seeing like the Giorno clip of the guy doing Muda, and it's just a guy reacting in the corner. I was like, I don't give a shit about that guy.
Yeah. Taking a valuable screen.
I know.
I want to watch the guy doing the Muda. I mean, I have to say though, like with Takeshi's Castle, I fucking loved growing up. Like,
oh my God, what a show.
What was your guys' like favorite like segment of that show? Because for me, like to this day, if I have a bad day, I'll always watch clips of Lotion Staircase.
See, I think they had different names for them.
In the
challenges. Cause they'd have like title screens.
Yeah.
You could tell that they tried to mimic.
I mean, did you guys watch like the Lotion Staircase one?
It's like
a giant staircase and it's just covered in lotion. And they have to try and get to the top of it.
I remember that one.
I like the one where they would, the honeycomb maze, like the hexagon maze, where they would come in. It was basically this maze and you got a up top down view, which is so good. And you would see them go through this maze and there'd basically be these fucking dudes who would just grab them in the face and like throw them around. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then there's also like the rolling things that they would try and run on that looked impossible.
Oh, yeah. No, the one that sticks out to my mind is the one where they're like rock skipping, like just
dangerous.
You fucking go full pelt over these like rocks over a river and some of the rocks would just sink.
Yeah.
Now just imagine if like you're running full pelt and then one of the rocks sinks and you just face plant into a real rock. Oh my God. That looks painful.
If you haven't watched it, you're in for a treat. It's so good. It's such good fun. I don't think a show like that could happen today.
No. And it's not just Takeshi's Castle. There are like, I've realized there are so many shows that either America or the UK or like just some Western country has like ripped off, like Silent Library. Like Wipeout. And even like Ninja Warrior. They're all like originally Japanese shows.
I love Ninja Warrior, watching the Japanese version.
They could never go as crazy as the Japanese version.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, I think that was definitely game shows, like everything kind of got me into anime, right? Like it was just that kind of buildup of, I kind of think this culture is kind of sick, right? I like what they do. I like all the media that they put out. Like it just jives with me, right? And I just seem to enjoy it. And then I remember the first like anime, right? This is where we're talking about like finally getting into like the modern shit, day. Right? Yeah, like the shit.
Yeah.
I remember I really, for some reason, I wanted to be like a TV and film snob. I don't know why. I wanted to be like, I've seen everything, you know? Right, like, yeah.
Did you go through the IMDb top 100 phase?
I think, I feel like everyone's gone to this point.
Everyone in uni. I feel like uni was a big.
It was in a, because I just finished watching like 24 and Prison Break, and I was feeling like, man, I'm such a TV connoisseur. I've watched Prison Break and 24. So I went through the list, and Death Note was like eighth or something at the time.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And I this must have been like 2012, 13.
Yeah. Right.
And I skipped it initially because I'm like, I'm not watching fucking cartoons. I'm a grown ass man. I grew up, because again, because like, you know, my parents and all my family and cousins and whatever, like they were telling you like, dude, stop watching cartoons, right? You're an adult, right? So I initially skipped it, but for some reason I did a double take like 2 or 3 weeks later, read the synopsis, and I thought, okay, this sounds pretty fucking sick, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it's in the top 10, it's gotta be pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Watched one episode. I had to school the next day, but I stayed up the whole night up until school. I had to leave with two episodes left to watch. So I binged it the whole season of Death Note in one night. And oh my God, I just immediately like became obsessed. Like it was like overnight, I had just all my other plans to watch all these famous movies and TV shows, get that out of here. Someone on YouTube said, watch Code Geass, so I'm gonna do that next. And it's just like, obviously that phase where you discover all like the golden anime, it's just like banger after banger. And it's like 3 months straight where you're just like, all you think about is watching the next anime.
God, like remember that phase? I missed that phase you watched was amazing. Even look back at some of the shit now.
Even
like
the shitty stuff.
Even the shitty, like I remember going through this phase where I was obsessed with Love Hina, right?
I think everyone had that phase back in the day.
Okay, if we all had that phase back in the day, can I ask what was the show that ruined that for you? Like, do you remember? Because I know exactly what it was for me.
No, because like, I feel like once you watched enough anime, you start like, do you remember the feeling of The Void? Right?
Yeah.
The Void, where you watch this really, really good show, you're like, no one's gonna top this. Mm. Nothing's gonna top this, and you just feel empty.
And then you hit Jinbu Wo. Come on.
and then the more shows you watch, the more the more that void shrinks until like you find the next amazing show. And then you're like, and then you watch enough and then you find like your top 10 favorite shows.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of when it starts cementing for me to like to the next phase where you start watching stuff and it's not as good a feeling as when you first started. Mm-hmm. So what was it for you then?
School days. Because I distinctly remember this and I remember being really annoyed about it. Yeah. And I'm not saying that for the meme, it's totally accurate. Because
why can I never escape school days?
Okay, you wanna know what's even worse, right? Is that, so I was watching anime on YouTube still at this point, right? And I remember, because I'd go to my anime list, because that's what everyone did, right? Like you would look at which ones are high rated and which ones, you know. For some reason, school days was like one of the highest rated. It was like split, right? Between like, it was either a 10 or a 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, I'm gonna be in the 10 category because everything I've watched so far, I fucking love, right? So first off, I already had a bad start with watching School Days because I remember watching School Days HQ or something. And it was like-
Or like a spinoff?
It was like 40 minutes.
No. School Days HQ, to explain, is the original visual novel of School Days. But the original visual novel of School Days was basically just a full on anime, right? It was all animated.
Okay.
I didn't know that. This is the first time I just found that out.
Yeah. So you can watch all of School Days HQ on something like Pornhub or Xvideos, which if you're really just looking-
X-Hamster, no hamsters.
If you're really just looking to watch the you know, clips that you're looking for, you can just find it on
there. Oh, and they would have showed the clips in that. I didn't get that far. I got about, because it was a 40 minute episode one.
Right.
Yeah. And I watched 40 minutes and I was like, this doesn't seem right. Am I watching the right thing? Like everyone's saying it's good. Like, is this right?
It's so funny that you say like the School Days like Mal is either like a 10 or a 2. I was definitely one of those people who put it as a 10.
I know you did, you piece of shit. Because I know exactly
what is going on here?
I know what mindset you were in where you were like, I'm in the fucking hood. I gotta say yes.
What is going on? Why am I sitting next to someone who gave School Days a 10?
Okay, look.
He's that sheep, right? Who everyone else has set at a 10. And he doesn't want to be that one guy who's like, I don't think I have good taste. No, I have good taste. I can appreciate it. So that's
because for me, right, like School Days was like
garbage.
It was crap until the last episode. Because the last episode, I was like, First of all, I remember just like sitting there. We're obviously not going to say it, but I'm sure there's lots of people who know.
If you don't know what happened to the end of school days.
Boat Coon comes out, right? Everyone knows. But like school days for me, that ending was like the most satisfying thing I'd ever seen in anime.
Okay, okay. I will give you that. It was satisfying. But then I remembered like, I just sat through 11 of the most boring shit in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is big enough to redeem it.
Like the first 11 episodes was just like, I think I need anger management right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because oh my God, I hate the main character so much.
Oh and then, my God,
and then
I hated
like,
him.
The fucking orgasm you got at episode 12 where what happened and you're
that for me, God. That ending for me made it a 10.
No.
I specifically remember, I'm like, I'm glad I went through those 11 episodes because to watch the most satisfying ending
that's bullshit.
I've ever
that
seen.
Is bullshit. That's recency bias, right? Because you're basing your review of how it ended, not how the absolute shit truck that you had to like shovel through.
Okay, no, but like, here's the thing, right? Like I've said this so many times in videos, but like the ending for me is so fucking important because like I had the exact opposite.
You got that goldfish brain, the one that like tunes everything out.
Because I had the exact opposite experience with Dead Man Wonderland.
No, I still like Dead Man Wonderland.
Because Dead Man Wonderland for me was amazing, first 10 episodes, and the ending was just the most garbage, bullshitty, like, okay, we ran out of budget ending that I've ever seen, that it just completely ruined the experience.
But that doesn't mean it's a one. I mean,
I didn't put Dead Man Wonderland.
What'd you give Dead Man Wonderland?
The anime?
Yeah.
Like a 5?
What? No, it's better than a 5.
Because then I read the manga, and the manga's infinite. Better.
You think so?
Yeah.
I thought where the
The manga actually ends.
Did you like the ending of the manga though?
It's better than the fucking anime.
I guess. I remember reading Deadman Wonderland and I kind of liked what it did a little bit, but the ending I wasn't too big of a fan of in the manga.
Right. But anyway, I enjoyed it. Even if it was like a mediocre ending, right? Like, at least I got an okay ending. Whereas the anime just left me wanting more. And I'm like, don't cock tease me like that after 10 amazing episodes.
But would you rather a show that has like 10 amazing episodes with no ending or 24 episodes with 10 amazing episodes and then it starts to go kind of meh, the ending's a little questionable?
The first.
Right, really? That's what we got with Dead Man there.
Yeah.
Right, we got 10 bangers. And
that's
then-
why I like-
yeah, but like, I'm just trying to like, wrap my head around how you could justify
the school days.
Okay, I've just been sitting here for like the past few minutes having a fucking mental breakdown by myself.
Let me rephrase, okay? I had so many opinion changes on the ending to school days, like many times.
Okay, so what would you give school days now then?
Now I would give it a 6.
No, man.
I had a phase where I'm like, is this ending genius or is it the worst garbage that I've ever seen.
If I make a character that is so fucking abhorrent and then I kill him off, I don't, you shouldn't be-
He's not even a good character. He's not a good character.
That's exactly the reason why the ending was so satisfying.
It's satisfying, but it's just so fucking surface level. You know what I mean?
I mean, I wouldn't watch it again.
Like this protagonist is the one that we follow. He made this character dog shit on purpose, but then there's also little bits where he tries to make you like the guy. And that's the worst part. And that's what I fucking hate. It's like, no, don't try to make me sympathize with this cunt. He just had like a threesome in like class 3B. Like what the fuck? He just had like he's supposed to be a dad or
shit. That's the one character development that, what the fuck is it? Makoto had. That was his name.
Makoto, because he's so fucking bland. Yeah. I couldn't even remember his fucking, I can't remember any of the character names.
I love the one character development Makoto had is that he started out as this like absolute simp for Sekai and then just turned into these most like fucking-
Katonaha, that was a fucking name. Yeah.
He became like the Giga Chad.
Giga Chad.
And the episode for me that made me like had to like pause and go like, was like the when they wanted to have like a threesome or something.
I
like paused it and I was like,
Chota mate. Chota fucking mate.
I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, and it was so like poor. Like, it was literally a porn plot how it happened as well.
No, because it is a fucking porn plot. Yeah, it was. School Days HQ is a porn plot.
That's the worst thing about it, right? Is that they try and sell you that it's not a porn plot, and then they hit you with the in front of my salad plot, and you're like, no, this isn't what I want. Like, and the fact that people on Mal had the fucking balls to be like, this is an artistic masterpiece of our generation.
I'm definitely one guy who said that. I'm like, this ending is absolutely genius. You guys just don't understand.
The timing is impeccable. It's like, no, it's like, yeah, okay, if my dog got rabies and I watched it die for 3 hours, yeah, I'd probably see it put down, but it would be satisfying, right? Because it's just suffering. That's what that anime was. It was just suffering. I fucking hated it. And the fact that I had to then watch 40 minutes of a Let's Play or whatever the fuck it was of the first thing.
See, I didn't watch that.
And the worst part was is that imagine, okay, before you could even start the dog shit pile that is fucking School Days, you had to watch 40 minutes of the same thing before you started the same thing again. So I remember watching the first episode already bored out of my mind because I'd seen this shit before in a slightly different way. Oh, and I was like, I hate School Days.
Let's end it.
School Days sucks, cock.
I'm just having a fucking mental breakdown right now because I thought I had left School Days in the past. Yeah. I never thought I'd hear those two words again. And I never thought I'd be sitting next to the guy who, you know, because I remember that Mal phase and I thought everyone must be trolling.
Yeah.
This is like the interspecies reviewers kind of thing. Everyone's giving this a 10. Everyone's being fucking ironic. There's no way that there can be a guy who actually-
I'm sure there were.
But I can't imagine. I couldn't imagine you unironically gave it a 10.
I just remember
what is happening?
I had a video, like this is a video.
Well, yeah, you corrected your opinion.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So
not enough.
I made two videos. I had a video, the first video I ever made on School Days was right after I finished watching it. Mm. And I think it's like a 6-year-old video. And it's called like, is the School Days ending a masterpiece? Or something like
I don't know. Oh my God.
And it was just like me going like, yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, but okay. It's like, imagine if Code Geass is ending, right? You had that. But then 25 episodes was just us following like Nunnally, like just her daily life. You know what I mean? Like that shit's boring. I don't want to fucking-
It's like, it wasn't like the, okay, the ending was satisfying, but it was just a boring show. It was a boring show for half of it. And then the second half was just like anger management.
I think I gave it such a high score because I just appreciated the meta behind how the director and producer chose the literal worst ending of any visual novel in existence. Yeah. It was like grade A trolling in my opinion. And I think that's why I said it was kind of genius.
I mean, it's definitely different, right? Yeah, that ending was not like an ending like that. Have we seen anything like that since?
Because there's
like
a reason why we're still talking about School Days after fucking how many years of it since it's been out?
Yeah, but okay, here's the thing, right? Is that sometimes, what is a good ending, right? Do we think of it as a good ending? Because the story made sense. It really like, in the whole thing, it was like, wow, that's a great ending. It really made sense. All the characters built up to this. No, it's a good ending because the main character was fucking awful and everyone in that show was god awful.
Right.
We just wanted to see them get like revenge.
But I would argue that an ending that is good, right, doesn't necessarily have to be memorable. Right, there's a difference between a memorable ending and a good ending.
It's a memorable ending, not a good ending.
But it's just like pure shock factor, right?
Yeah, that's what it is, right?
It's just like pure shock factor and it's got not much substance behind that shock factor,
right?
And that was my big problem with School Days because at least with the visual novel, you could see fucking sex scenes for one.
We can watch the Giga Chatter now.
Get some tips. He's getting threesomes at like age 16. Oh shit.
Exactly. Because at least in that point, it actually made sense why he was getting all this fucking pussy.
Did it? Yeah. Did it though? Did it really?
I mean, no. It made sense because he was a fucking hentai,
right? It made sense in the visual novel, not in the anime, because they didn't explain the hentai subplot, right?
Yeah.
Or the subtext, I guess, that it is like a hentai.
I think that was the first time as a teenager that I was like, oh, sex again? Like, you know, like, really? We're gonna go with sex again? All right, geez.
Yeah, okay. But like around that time, right? Like that's like the age where like you start to be like beyond those kinds of like sex and poop jokes where it's all about like, if this isn't like challenging my 16-year-old atheist brain, then it's not good material. You know?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I watched that like pee pee poo poo thing that made me laugh on YouTube like 2 weeks ago. So I don't know if I'm fully gone, but.
Right, but like it always goes back, right? Like you laugh at poop jokes at age 10, not at age 15, and then you laugh at poop jokes again at age 20.
I being a teenager is fucking weird. I guess that's all I could say.
It is fucking weird because teenagers, we horny as fuck, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess when you're a teenager, you wanna, This is a weird thing that you don't do as an adult, right? When you're an adult, you fully accept what you're into. But as a teenager, you're like trying to mold your interest into what you think you should like.
Yeah, exactly.
And I felt like the shows that you watched, which is probably why this guy gave Mal fucking School Days a 10. He's like, I want to be this smart guy who can see through all the bullshit to see the masterpiece.
No. I will fully admit that's exactly what
right,
I
mean. Right, right. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I did that too, right?
There's
probably a part of me that would argue that Prison Break was a masterpiece of our time, right? When I look back now, I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? I was 15.
Yeah.
You know, like it's when you're a teenager, you have dumb opinions, you know? Like,
Which is why you should never start an AniTube channel in your teens.
No.
Because you'll very highly regret it later on.
My first video was on fucking Bleach.
wait, how old are you when you started YouTube then?
17.
Oh shit, okay. I was still doing dumb shit up until 20.
I started
my YouTube at 19, right?
Yeah, I was 19 as well when I started.
Holy crap, some of the stuff that I said, that I look back now, and you know what, you look back and you know the motives as well to why you said the dumb shit.
Oh yeah, you would never have now, right?
Of course.
Like you're like, oh, I want to be seen in this way, so I'm going to say opinion that isn't really mine, but I know people will view me if I, you know.
Like I look back at some of my first videos and I fucking cringe, man. I could not finish them. Oh my God.
I'm so fucking glad that the way the internet was like the perfect time, I think, for when I was growing up. Because there was still the kind of thing of, you could say whatever the fuck you wanted and you got away with it, right? Like I'm sure I said some fucking horrible stuff on RuneScape and Xbox Live to people, right?
Of course, you know, now,
I mean, kind of stuff gets held against you, you know?
I'm
glad that I had that room to grow, room to know that School Days was garbage, you know? Without having to make a video about it and being like, School Days is a masterpiece, guys.
Don't make the same mistake. Like,
did you actually make a video on it?
No. Yeah.
Well, you did?
You did?
Yeah. Oh,
is it up on your channel?
Yeah, it's on my channel.
Oh my God. We
got a lot. It's like a video from like 6 years ago. Oh, yeah.
We're watching that tonight.
It's like 5 minutes of me. I can't watch it because it's so cringy, but it's like me in like a fucking like, I had like this giant like chopper hat for some reason on. I don't know why I was wearing it. That was like during the era where like, I was known as the guy as to wear the weird hats.
Yeah.
I had like a chopper hat that was like the huge like chopper hat. Oh, and I was also wearing this like rainbow beanie with like a scarf attached to it and shit. I looked gross, to say the least. I don't know why anyone was like, oh yeah, this guy looks good. But like, yeah, like unironically, I was like, you know what? Now that I'm like mulling it over, I think School Days' ending is really freaking good.
Oh my God.
It's on my channel right now. Like, dude, I'll keep that shit up because it is
just getting ad rev. He's gonna.
I mean, it's. I like to keep it up to like kind of remind my audience that like, you know, I used to be like this, but now obviously I've changed my opinion on School Days and a lot of shows because I've, as you said, I've had the room to grow now and the room to watch.
Yeah, I think it's funny to look back at your old videos where you're cringe as fuck.
Just
to be like, this is what I'm like now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can see clear improvement.
I like seeing the growth, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely.
Feels good. It hurts to watch some of your older videos. I actually watched it and I'm like, I sound so much more British.
Yeah.
My accent has changed so fucking much, and I didn't realize that.
Such a Northern accent in the start of YouTube.
Well, when I met you, you had like the thickest Welsh accent
I've ever heard. It's kind of been destroyed now, which is nice, you know? I mean, I speak clearly, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that's, to coincide with our like YouTube growth, I think you have that as well, especially in your tastes in anime, when you're a teenager and what you like and, you know, you kind of lie to yourself sometimes.
We call trash taste for a reason.
Yeah. But, I mean, Joey's really pulling his weight on that trash taste.
This episode has been on fucking point.
I had to bring the trash in, all right? If someone was going to do it, it was going to be me.
Why is it every podcast I'm on, I can never escape School Days? Why?
Because it's so fun.
I think because it's that moment as an anime fan when you watch School Days and it's like two paths. Which one are you going to go down?
Yeah.
Are you going to go down like just admitting your taste?
And this like, is like the modern day like Pokemon versus Digimon. It's like School Days good or School Days bad?
It's like the anime litmus test.
I'm thinking, was School Days just way more culturally important for the anime fandom than I realized it was?
I think it is.
At least for, you know, in the mid, you know, 2010, that round.
Yeah.
I think that was a big like, taste indicator.
You know? 100%.
Yeah. And also anyone who said they liked it was a fucking liar at the time, you know? So, or and that means you couldn't trust any of his opinions.
How anyone subscribed after that, I don't understand.
Because at that time, I remember this. I felt like I was the idiot. Cause I'm like, am I the only guy that thinks this show is garbage? Like,
when did School Days come out? It was like 2007, I think.
It was during the golden age.
Okay, so it's 2007. Because I think it was 2007.
Saying that, right? I watched that at like 2013.
Yeah.
And that was that argument was still going on until
2013.
And to some aspect, it's still going on today.
Yeah.
Obviously a lot lesser, but.
I mean, you can argue that we brought it back.
Yeah. Well, how many anime do you know that have had like discussions like that where it's like brought up time and it's so decisive?
Well, right. I think this is the only anime that's like properly trashy. You know what I mean? That's,
yeah, it's
that,
so trashy.
That is, it just keeps being brought up because I can, you know, point to shows like say Evangelion or something you know, we can discuss till the end of times and fans probably will discuss that till the end of time. But in terms of like shows that I count as fucking awful. School Days is just a show that just doesn't refuse to die. It's a fucking cockroach. Every time I step on it, every time I think it fucking dies, it comes back. Two other people come back and say, oh yeah, I like the ending. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Please. I thought I was past this point.
You'll never escape from it, dude. That's the beauty of School Days.
It's 2020, oh my God.
I love how this was just like supposed to be our origin story in terms of the downfall of anime.
It's just the absolute shit roasting of my 10 out of 10 opinion of School Days.
It's just like a Brazzers of anime, you know? It's just like, that's basically what it is. It's like, imagine if like, if a Brazzers had a good ending, we'd probably all be arguing about it, right? That's the equivalent of it. It's like, it's not, it's fucking shit. God, I'm so heated about it. I just, it gives like a visceral reaction to everyone who dislikes it.
Like,
this guy's just living it down.
I'm just looking forward to the giant discussion this is going to cause in like the subreddit. I'm just like, this is going to be a whole thread again. This is going
to
come out.
I am interested to see what you, the viewers, if you have seen School Days, think of it. And if you're wrong on your thoughts of School Days. I'm mad. Jeez. I mean, is there anything else we can talk about other than
I think that's a good place to end it for today.
I feel like I've just took the wind out of my sails. I don't know how I can possibly be calm about anything else today.
But you do have something important.
We do have something to talk about. We've actually started the Trash Taste Patreon. As you can see, the production value is quite high for this podcast and we have editors helping us and stuff. And it's a whole system that we have. And sadly, it doesn't fund itself.
It costs a lot of money to run.
Basically, I just want to talk about because, you know, I feel like when we were making this podcast, we didn't want to settle for like cheap production values, right?
No, we wanted this to be, you know, comparable to any other high budget podcast.
Yeah. Right? But like to us, this was a passion project.
Right? Yeah.
We've put quite a lot of our own savings into this.
That's an understatement.
These like, mics are expensive.
Like, you know, several thousand dollars into making this. And plus, you know, we are renting out a studio, you know, in Japan.
A lot of time, a lot of money.
Yeah, near Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So right now, like, not to say that we, you know, all three of us are pretty well off. We'll be fine.
Like,
we just don't want our passion project to be bleeding money, which right now it is, you know? So any help that you can give to help us just to, you know, go even, because that's my goal. If I can just do this and not have to worry about
losing money,
like just constantly losing money and you know, then I would be more comfortable and I would just be happy.
Yeah.
And hopefully with your guys' support too, like we'll be able to evolve this podcast into like bigger and better things in the near future.
Yeah, and if you are just a standard viewer who, you know, doesn't care about Patreon or anything, don't worry about it. Nothing will change with Trash Taste. Nope. It's gonna be the exact same way. You get everything, don't worry about it. The patrons don't get anything. We're not gonna paywall anything. And please, again, we'll be fine financially if you don't support it. It's totally fine. It's purely optional.
Purely optional.
If you like the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
And is that, what else do we have to discuss? Anything else we need to shout out or anything?
Follow us on Twitter.
We have Twitter.
At Trash Taste Pod. You can also send us your memes and topic suggestions there as well. Yeah. And we also post photos and videos of dumb shit that we do. Yeah. So if you enjoy that, follow us on there as well.
And
smash the like button and subscribe to the channel.
And before you fuckers ask again, it will be going on Spotify and Apple, all that stuff eventually. If it isn't already, it will be soon. Don't worry.
At the time of recording, I'm really hoping by the time this comes out, it's already, so check the description.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to have an answer in the description whether this will
We'll definitely announce it on the subreddit and the Twitter.
So
at least check that out.
But without further ado, this has been Trash Taste and thanks for watching, guys.
See you in the next episode.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. I can't fucking believe School Days.
This fucker.